RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Hump Day Val and
Beans.
What hump it is? Who knows?
I don't know what the other side of this hump is going to look like, Frank.
Yep.
Do you
welcome
know?
To the Hotel California.
Ugh. So
I woke up this morning. I was thinking about Hotel California, and I was thinking about Kiss and Say Goodbye by the Manhattans all day.
I don't know. Listen, for all the talk and everything, I think it's now time to start reflecting on our shortcomings over the past 4 years as people.
I don't know. Listen, maybe I haven't reflected on it too much to be able to come up with anything outside of too easily excited. Like we were starving pets that were having a nice succulent piece of red meat dangling in front of us, and we thought that we were going to actually see something really, really spectacular. Now it's still 10 a.m. and the inauguration's in less than 2 hours, and that is when the last moment the last moment sting is going to be sprung.
Speaking of which,
you know, I don't know, Tracy. I really think, as I said last night, before you go and you outline your thoughts for the day, as I was saying last night, what did we do for the last 4.5, 5 years? I think that we did all the necessary work that Congress, that law enforcement, that the media refused to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we were right. We were right about Russia. We were right about FISA. We were right about the FBI. We were right about Ukraine. We were right about, we were right, at least with Seth Rich. We got so much confirmation about what interest was really taken in the mysterious death. Julian Assange, Cy Hirsch, putting together so many different types of puzzles, from the impeachment to the transparent propaganda behind the lockdowns and mail-in ballots and everything else that culminated to the end of this year. We did all the work that nobody else wanted to do. We were just, I think just what it comes down to is we were always very hopeful that the proper resolution was going to follow all of the legwork. And it may make this just even more bitter pill to swallow, because after seeing reality for what it is, and after seeing all the people who are willing to ignore reality to continue on this horrible, swindle, that's the only thing. We were too hopeful in the outcome.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's crazy. I was going to say discernment, basically. That was my thing that I think we can improve on, is discernment. And that encompasses exactly what you just said. I mean, we did. We uncovered everything.
How do you improve on discernment, though? If this is the situation we're in, that sounds like the only place to go is just swallow the black pill and do all the work believing that nothing's ever going to happen.
Well,
because there's moments that we thought that redemption was just on the other side of the door.
I think we got too pacified by hopes of things that would be, instead of being more demanding about needing results. I think we got pacified, and you know, I think that our faith in good inside of the U.S. government, for a lot of people, the fact that there were good guys that were going to make this happen, and myself included, I had a lot of faith in Durham and Barr, and I think that we need to tune that discernment and never have faith in anyone and just completely demand accountability and not wait. Okay, it's coming. Okay, it's coming. Okay, it's coming. We needed to be louder on that front, in my opinion. And I'm guilty of it, too. I trusted that people were going to do the right thing. What an idiot. What an idiot.
But how do you demand? What more do you demand?
We should have been calling. We should have been calling, writing letters. We should have been having rallies or marches. We should have been doing a whole ton of things that we didn't do.
You know, I think that you finally got people off their asses to do that after November 3rd.
Yes.
State legislatures, United States senators and representatives.
Yep.
You definitely got that. And still, look what happened.
Well, no, there was still positive momentum forward. There still was. I mean, Pennsylvania is a prime example. That was a prime example of people, you know, getting loud. And even Georgia, the hearings they had in Georgia and the report they put out in Georgia, that never would have happened if people just shut their mouths and didn't get out there and get loud. We did absolutely bring the problem of this election to the forefront to a point where it has changed the trajectory. What was that?
Nothing.
Oh, it has changed the trajectory of things moving forward because if nothing else, even if it's for improper reasons, because I don't believe that anybody that is a God-fearing American, people, the everyday Americans listening to our show, people who are normal people are planning on doing anything ridiculous at the inauguration today in D.C. They are so terrified that look at what they did in D.C. They're terrified.
Yeah, that is a constant. That's a constant that I was talking about recently as well. You can say whatever the hell you want, but the anxiety is so high. We have anxiety for one reason or another. There's a lot of unknowns. The media definitely has anxiety. They have been freaking out for 5 years, but even more so now, because when you're in on the greatest string of crimes ever committed in a supposedly free nation, aren't you, making buttons until the getaway car finally reaches its destination, you can get into your bunker? I mean, what they've done, I would be like, oh my God, we're almost through. It's almost done. It's almost done. And then, but the only person, of course, Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, anybody at the Capitol spinning what they spun is completely terrified. Why the hell would you do all this stuff? Why are you vetting 25,000 National Guard troops and relieving some of them of their command
because they support the Constitution?
Because they're pulling. Yeah, can you imagine signing up to serve the country, signing up for the National Guard to serve the country? You want to be a soldier and being relieved of your command from defending the capital of the nation because you're not a Democrat?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Holy shit.
Yeah, we're in a place.
So there's plenty of anxiety to go around. It's not to say that any of these theories about what may be a last minute turnaround and a last minute string of arrests. Hey, somebody thinks something is coming. They've been playing as if it is going to be coming for a while now.
What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. What the hell? Like I said, we have about an hour and 45 minutes until noon over here on the East Coast. And I wouldn't put my money on anything in Vegas.
Same thing.
So I'm just watching like everybody else, and I'm curious to see what everybody thinks, as always. And we continue on because I think the worst part about it is the this fake sense of unity is coming. Did you see that? That video?
Which one?
The author that put out that 2-minute, 20-second video.
Yeah.
That went, I mean, we're talking about crazy ex-girlfriend stuff. This is unbelievable. They're calling for new domestic spy agencies as if the FBI is not already on the job.
Not only that, but the way that video was edited is gross because they took things out of context. Like they couldn't even do it right. They don't even have truth on their side enough to actually create a video with truth in it.
Well, it's a Twitter video, so they had to get everything they could in to 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
But they cut portions of things that people said out of the clips they showed.
Of course. Well, that's not going to help them. They're propagandists and they are tyrants. These are fascists. I mean, for all of the anti-fascist nonsense that they put on out there, that's the greatest deception of them all, that they themselves are actually against fascism.
It's pretty sick. Really is.
Yeah.
Really sick. So now that's allowed to flourish on Twitter, of course. Mm-hmm. No worries there. No worries there. There were like so many people down in the comments saying, how do I enlist?
Enlist to what?
To be one of these soldiers to go after, you know, us.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, little girls. I want to enlist. I want to be a digital soldier. I'll help out. Yeah, and then and the best thing is that I saw some of the replies to those going, no, it's too dangerous. Oh my, they're playing and house. All they do is play house.
I know, and the worst thing is that they showed like pictures of like everyday Americans.
Yeah.
There were like every moms with flags.
The enemy. Too dangerous.
Don't go in there. I'll do it.
Yeah. Stay behind me. Ridiculous.
It is. And so did you watch President Trump's farewell speech this morning?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I watched it last night when it came out.
No. He had another one.
Another one?
This morning at Joint Andrews.
How long was it?
Oh, gosh, like 15 minutes.
Okay, because last night's was about 17, 19. I'll have to watch that now. What was it? Can you summarize it?
He was just saying, you know, we did all these great things. There was all kinds of great, you know, it was just basically a recap of his administration and talking about the stock market and blah, 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 blah. Thank you so much. Goodbye. And then off he flies to Mar-a-Lago.
So then, who's going to be our next presidential candidate in 2024? Mike Lindell?
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter at all. I heard that. I heard there's some rumors about Donald Trump starting a third party, which is I don't know. I mean, it's whatever.
Does it matter?
No. It's like a rock and a hard place. I guess it doesn't matter in the interim because. No matter what, I mean, there's not going to be a critical mass of people that go on over there, but maybe.
Does it matter if our elections aren't even secure?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the other thing that doesn't make any sense. But other than that, in the meantime, it's just another bull moose party.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we got Woodrow Wilson as a president anyway, because Teddy Roosevelt started his third party. A pretty popular guy, Teddy Roosevelt, and made it possible through the siphoning of votes that Woodrow Wilson, Mr. Federal Reserve, Mr. 16th, 17th Amendment, Mr. World War I, became president. So it's just we're splitting hairs here. And you know why? Because we have a problem where the Malcolm X once said, if we have differences, let's work them out in the closet. That's one thing that the Democrats, the left, the communists, the media, everything that props up that illusion, they're very good at doing. They keep all their differences in the closet. Sometimes it boils on over. There looks like there's some strife, and we know that there's a lot of strife behind the scenes, but they keep it together for the cameras. They stay on message. We are always like the task is like herding cats, and who knows if we'll ever be able to focus on one thing with enough intention to break it apart, because there's always somebody going into a purity spiral about one thing or another. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know.
Did you see Biden's little thing in Delaware yesterday where he basically had no security and his Secret Service agent had to like run after him and barely even protected him? Did you see that?
No.
He gave this little speech in Delaware. He got all choked up and he got up to the microphone and he did his thing. And at one point he said something like, my only regret is that Bo is not alive right now because he should be president. And I'm like, wow, talk about spitting in Hunter's face.
He should be president.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Linus over there, Hunter, it followed him all over the world. And I'll tell you, like I said, these are people that I do not like. I do not really pity.
Yeah.
But then again, it's in a weird way, I do pity people like Hunter Biden, though because at one time he was an innocent child.
Yes.
You know, that's the only thing. You look at what a person becomes and how they turn their inner anguish out onto other people. They become addicts. They become abusive. They become completely shameless in the way that they conduct themselves on any kind of a stage. And you say, oh, to hell with pity. But if you really think about that, that was at one point an innocent child that had a chance. That's pitiful. And that's sad. And to continue suffering the indignity of being a Biden up until this, you know, it's just nonstop.
How long do you think he stays in the office of the presidency?
I don't know. I've heard some things about his health from, you know, people who know his brain surgeon.
Yeah, you know, that's where I heard that initial thing in the first place was from you.
Yeah.
Tell that story, because I don't think many people realize what that is all about.
Well, that was, first of all, about 2 or 3 years ago, or yep. Maybe about 2 years ago or so. I had a caller, and obviously I don't have a call screener, so, but they sounded like a pretty straight shooter. It's not a secret that Joe Biden has had at least two major brain hemorrhage surgeries, and we're talking about significant portions of the brain taken out. They said, but not only that, but just recently, I was told.
And again, let's just clarify: this is coming from
friends. That's it. But just that it's once again, you're talking about a person who is probably going through, and we can see it on a daily basis. The only reason why this is believable is because we see the struggle to maintain focus on anything, on any simple subject, looking like you don't know where you are, mistaking people in your life for people who,
like your wife or your sister. And
yeah, you know, these are not just little flubs and gaffes. You're talking about blank spots, blind spots, and you wonder what the hell's going on. Is it just the natural regression of age and human I don't know, you're just flaking apart, or is it a number of things that are compiling on top of each other and forming this scenario? So I don't know. My whole thing, he himself, and then you go into other pieces of information that are open book. He himself says, I'm a transitory. I'm a transition president. He's not there. He's not even thinking about a second term. It was never in the cards. So the real question is, how much of the first term is he going to get?
Yeah.
Before you get.
Well, you never said what was wrong with him that you stopped.
Well, what am I? I don't want to put my name to any kind of
room,
but it pretty much comes around to the same type of thing. He has a lot of brain issues inside of his skull,
literally
missing parts or new growths or something like that. That there's just the time is limited.
Talk about the 25th Amendment.
Oh yeah, talk about the 25th Amendment. And supposedly that this is like an open secret that he's sick degenerating in some kind of a way, that this was always kind of the plan. And remember, the only real reason why they really foisted him into the spotlight as the candidate
was because
of Ukraine.
Yep.
Absolutely. It's the best way to get. They already had the FBI helping suppress the entire thing about Ukraine, but they also wanted to make it politically unfeasible for anybody to really go after and get him on it, because he was a political candidate and it would look like revenge or look like somebody trying to take out one of their chief opponents. And that's why they did the whole impeachment thing. So, I mean, and if you really think about it, Tracy, now that hindsight is 2020, you look at the infrastructure that they had in place, not only the boots on the ground, the Ruby Freemans of the world, but the machines and the algorithms and the courts and the media and the coordination. They could have put in a three-legged cocker spaniel as the Democrat nominee and get him elected president. You know, I mean, so why not? Why not Joe Biden?
I
So this is what we're dealing with now.
Why not? And then Kamala Harris, of all the people in the world, we're going to have to deal with listening to her.
I know. Who do you think her VP is going to be? You think it's going to be Hillary?
Oh, my God.
You think Hillary's finally going to get
we're
back in?
We're literally living in purgatory right now.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
You know, I keep on saying this, but I'm going to say it again. The worst thing, this is like when the left freaked out after Trump got elected because they were afraid that they were going to be like literally persecuted. And we got the meme of that girl screaming outside the Capitol on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
But we actually will be persecuted and we already have been.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, she screamed outside on the sidewalk for all of the hell that was coming her way. And the hell showed up in the form of no new foreign wars. It showed up in the form of record unemployment across all of the Democrats' key demographics that they claim to own. Women, all types of ethnic minority demographics, entrepreneurship explosions across all of those demographics as well. And just it was nothing. It was absolutely nothing. But they screamed and kicked throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, if
and
anything, now, their lives got better.
Absolutely. Whether they liked it or not, their lives got better. Whether they liked it or not. And it was only really nominal changes as well. It was only a small, when you think about how highly we're taxed and regulated, it was really only a small cut. It only took a small cut to be one of the largest cuts in history. And look at what happened. But they screamed and cried. And now with all this obvious jockeying of the most obscene amount of power that anybody could have thrown around to affect reality the way that they have. They somehow think that justice has been done. And what do? For all the crying about tyranny that never showed up, they are turning their guns inward on the nation, talking about new domestic spy programs, talking about insurrection. The president is going to become a leader of a fascist insurrection army now.
Yeah.
We had on CNN talking about how they need to go after all of their the one or two stations now that represent competition. They're not even talking about deplatforming Fox anymore, CNN. That used to be their chief opponent.
They're friends now.
Exactly. There's no need to pretend like Fox is the enemy anymore. They're going after OAN and Newsmax, who still have been imperfect.
Well, OAN has been better than Newsmax has, for sure.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, you know, the dropping of Fox News rhetoric has been interesting. Like that clip we played the other day, I keep hearing it over and over in my head, how he said basically that we far surpass them in ratings.
Exactly. Daytime, that anybody, that people, that podcast, that people who felt like the outside, the media, the established media was not serving any kind of intellectual pursuit of the truth or even an intellectual pursuit of a better set of questions to ask. Where the hell are we going? Where do we come from? What does all this mean? What do words mean, to be honest? You need to be able to learn how to re-listen to people that are on television and that are writing for mainstream print mediums and anything like that. You have to relearn language because they're not saying what you think they're saying. Everything has double meaning. They jockey all the time about the definition of words. They and of course, when they can't find something to spin, they call perfectly innocuous things dog whistles for something else.
Yeah, yeah. Part of me went down like the road of the Matrix, where I was like, you know, it would be nice to taste a steak again, just for a day.
Well, listen, there is that relief. There is a little bit of sense of relief. It's almost like when you see the horrible responsibility of watching someone you love wither away from a disease and die. And and toward the end, even though it's not what you wanted and you're heartbroken, there is that, at least that's if you've been given enough time to really grapple with what's happening.
Yes. If you,
there's
yes.
nothing. Yeah, there's no. You're talking about a sudden death, a car accident, a murder, God forbid, anything like that. It is so much more disturbing on greater levels. But if you're actually able to grasp what's happening and reflect on our mortality and see a person that you love that you don't want to feel, you don't want them feeling pain for anymore.
Yep.
There is that sense of relief where you feel like you can breathe because suddenly their pain has been relieved. There is a little bit of that. Where you're just like, oh, okay,
at least we know what we're doing. Like, honestly, there are some people out there. I'm being sent all kinds of stuff, Frank. And so I listen to a lot of it just because I'm curious what's going on out there in the world of like independent podcasting and stuff like that. And one of the people saying, well, if we don't see this action on Inauguration Day to fix all of this, then, you know, that doesn't mean anything. And it could be the day after or the day. And I'm like, oh, gosh, here we go again. Here's where I'm at. At least now I know where we are and I can plan accordingly for moving forward. We have been in a state of perpetual limbo for months, not knowing what the hell was going on. First, it was was it going to be the Supreme Court? Was it going to, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Then was it going to be the Congress? Then was it going to be the states decertifying? Then was it going to be, we had no idea. We were kind of just like all at the edge of our seats, like nervously waiting.
Well, I will say this, as far as the people that email you and say, well, listen, if it doesn't happen on Inauguration Day, it's still not over. I will give that some credit from one, I guess, extreme point of view, as some people would say. Now, I'm never going to be the one that you should come to put together or lead some armed insurrection. But what I am going to say is that upon the completion of this ritual today, and that's exactly what it is, upon the completion of this ritual today, every level of our general government and all related agencies are completely and totally illegitimate.
Agreed.
And that is just a subjective point of view, I guess, but I think it's very objective as well, because the way that they even talk about traitors and patriots, it does not jive with the Constitution. So they are referring to a pretended reality, a pretended breakaway nation that is something that they own, from the social aspects, the culture, to this mutant government that does not resemble anything that is in the charter that we call our Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. Nothing. So to think at this point, we are at a jumping point now here where if there is a contingent of Marines of any kind of military that has the reasoning, they have the evidence that there has been a grand taking away and conquering of the nation, and they act on that, I guess that would be a way that there is some sort of a military incursion after Election Day, and that's maybe that happens in some. I have no clue. Either way, it's going to be a very uncomfortable future for us, because if something like that happens, it's going to be extreme. It's going to be frightening. And if something doesn't happen like that, then we're dealing with the Agenda 2030 people, mm-hmm. with the presidency, with the Senate, and with the House of Representatives in their control completely for at least the first 2 years of the Biden administration. So it's going to be very uncomfortable. And the reason why I say that that if anything would happen, have to happen afterwards, is because hell, what are you going to do? And there's nothing left. There's nothing left. There is no law. There is no system within this country right now that is going to yield a result that unseats these people from power. They own it all. If they were able to do what they did in 2020 and get away with it, and yes, I know we still have an hour and a half, but if they did what they did in 2020 and get away with it, where the hell are you ever going to get recourse for anything in a meaningful way?
That's the thing. That's the thing that bothers me the most about all this.
Maybe you get lucky with a local property dispute, perhaps. But you find a nice circuit court judge that rules in your favor over something menial. But I mean, but come on.
There is no sense of justice. That's the thing. I don't know. The only case, again, I'm going to say it, the only case of the election that got to discovery discovered ridiculous fraud and is still ongoing because there is one judge in small town Antrim, Michigan, who had the guts to do the right thing.
And they saw, they found 68% error rate.
Yep. I was talking to the attorney in that case last night. I said, please, when you get the signed order, send it on over to me so I can read it. Because they have to disclose all of their stuff. You know, they're feverishly probably deleting it all right now. Oh, we have no results responsive to Dominion in our systems. What are you talking about?
Well, they also, and here's the thing that I don't get. I mean, they seem emboldened in some ways. In many ways. First of all, they threw $1.5 billion lawsuit at Sidney Powell. Yeah. See, I'm sure she's fine with taking care of herself.
But
other than that, I mean, you saw that groveling apology issued by the American Thinker.
Oh my gosh, it was horrible.
That because Dominion went after them. Oh my God,
it was bad.
Think about what the hell are they throwing at?
Neutered them, like legitimately neutered them.
They made them say, sorry, we said things we had no evidence for. So, I mean, all you have to do is report on what is being reported, report on some of the hearings. If affidavits are evidence, then why can't, then just reporting on hearings alone is good enough for you to make any kind of speculation about what the hell may be going on, especially if you just label it editorial. So I don't know what the hell Dominion went after the American Thinker with, but they scared them shitless.
Yeah. Yeah, they neutered them completely. I wonder if I could find that. I want to read it if I can. Hold on. Then we're going to talk.
Pause.
Yeah. Then we're going to talk about Trump pardons and declassification, which, hold on. All right, I'm going to read this. Everybody, just understand, they have got to be under some kind of like knife point here. It says, we received a lengthy letter from Dominion's defamation lawyers explaining why they believe that their client has been the victim of defamatory statements. Having considered the full import of the letter, we have agreed to their request that we publish the following statement, which means they didn't even write this.
Yeah.
The
Dominion said, publish this on your website.
Exactly as it is.
Yeah.
And that's why it sounds this way. American Thinker and contributors Andrea Widberg, R.D. Wedge, Brian Tomlinson, and Peggy Ryan have published pieces on AmericanThinker.com that falsely accused U.S. Dominion Inc., Dominion Voting Systems Inc., and Dominion Voting Systems Corporation, collectively Dominion, of conspiring to steal the November 2020 election from Donald Trump. These pieces rely on discredited sources who have peddled debunked theories about Dominion's supposed ties to Venezuela, fraud on Dominion's machines that resulted in massive vote switching or weighted votes, and other claims falsely stating that there is credible evidence that Dominion acted fraudulently. This is where it really gets bad. These statements are completely false and have no basis in fact. Industry experts and public officials alike have confirmed that Dominion conducted itself appropriately and that there is simply no evidence to support these claims. It was wrong for us to publish these false statements. We apologize to Dominion for all of the harm this caused them and their employees. We also apologize to our readers for abandoning 9 journalistic principles and misrepresenting Dominion's track record and its limited role in tabulating votes for the November 2020 election. We regret this grave error. Oh my God. They just stuck the knife in their back at the end and twisted it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is it's like a Christmas story when Scott Farkas is twisting what's his name's arm. Say uncle, and then just script. I felt I actually had to leave. Well, I didn't even finish reading the entire thing on American Thinker because toward halfway down the apology, I had to get off the website altogether because I felt like embarrassed.
Yikes!
I felt embarrassed for them, and not to say that. Once again, I mean, it's not embarrassed like, oh, God, you guys are pathetic. Like you said, this is at knife point.
Yeah.
So sometimes I guess you got to do what you got to do, but it's still uncomfortable to watch it happen. Like somebody getting pantsed or something like that.
I mean, even worse than that. This was bad. And yeah, so last night, President Trump issued a statement, and I have not seen this yet. So I have not seen it yet. That's all I'm going to say. He says, declassification and release. At my request on December 10th, 2020, the Department of Justice provided the White House with a binder of materials related to the FBI investigation Crossfire Hurricane. Portions of the documents in the binder have remained classified and have not been released to Congress or the public. I requested the documents so that a declassification review could be performed and so I could determine to what extent materials in the binder should be released. I determined that the materials in the binder should be declassified to the maximum extent possible. In response, and as part of an iterative process of the declassification review, under a cover letter dated January 17th, 2021, the FBI noted its continuing objection to any further declassification of the materials in the binder, and also on the basis of a review that included IC Equities, identified the passages it believed it was most crucial to keep from public disclosure. I have determined to accept the redactions proposed for continued classification by the FBI in that January 17th submission. Wah, 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 wah.
So they're going to be fully redacted.
Pretty much. I hereby declassify the remaining materials in the binder. It's my final determination that the AG should implement the redactions proposed and return to the White House as an appropriate redacted copy. It doesn't say when we're going to get anything out of it. We still haven't gotten anything as far as I know. Although John Solomon does have an article out this morning about the Christopher Steele's discussion with the FBI. And those notes have been released as well as a very heavily redacted, unclassified payment record and 302s, I guess they are right here. So there is a lot here. There's like 30 pages to go through. And, you know, I know a lot of people are like, well, who cares? Blah, blah, blah. I care. And I think you guys should care too. I'm going to report on this stuff. I'm going to document it. The chances of anybody being held accountable for any of the heinous crimes they committed against our country are probably slim to none at this point, just being honest. And shame on me for thinking that there was a chance that that could possibly ever happen. I will be a cynic moving forward.
How do you do? You have to be scared. You know, listen, if it were before 2016, Tracy, and we were covering all of these happenings, we would have been a cynic. The problem was that there was an opening.
Yeah.
And through this window, through this barrier that usually no one could penetrate, Donald Trump squeaked through. And shattered so many norms that needed to be shattered and caused such an uproar that we actually thought within that chaos there was going to be wonderful opportunities for some monumental shifts. And it did happen culturally, and it did happen in other ways in the media and elsewhere. But we didn't get the real surgery that we needed.
How many days until Biden disbands the Durham special counsel? How many days?
Who knows?
They already dropped the Flynn leak investigation to figure out who was leaking to Kislyak about the Kislyak calls. They dropped that already. I think all I have to say is thank God there's one shining example of goodness coming out of all this.
What's that?
The FBI and the DOJ did the right thing by General Michael Flynn.
Yeah.
They dropped the case against him. They explained why they didn't want to move forward with charges. We got all those releases from Grinnell, who I have my questions about, but did a lot of great things as DNI. That part of it was good. Seeing justice like that, but for the stupid corrupt judge who wouldn't do the right thing. That was good.
It is. If there is one thing, at least one person got something nice out of this.
In a good way. I mean, you know, at least, yes. And Trump pardoned Steve Bannon. He pardoned Steve Bannon this morning or last night.
There's nothing else. There was like 70 or 80 people on that list. I was skimming through it just to see if I saw anybody I recognized. outside of Lil Wayne.
Yeah, that I don't get. 73 pardons and 70 commutations. I wonder how long it is before rappers start talking about Donald Trump again.
Oh, God. It's going to be... You're going to see. You're going to see. You have to give it some time. And
you think he's going to start a media organization?
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be in the works. But honestly, I'm not interested. Personally, I'm not interested. I'm not a fan of media outlets as it is. I just see things. I think about things and hey. I talk about things.
Hey.
Listen, Uncovered DC is great, of course. Uncovered DC is fantastic.
Jesus.
I'm just saying to make a baseball team out of it, which is what this is really going to be. It's and then what's going to happen? We're going to get periodic appearances by former President Trump to give us tongue in cheek remarks about how he was spied on and blah blah blah, and they're like, what?
I'm disappointed.
I'm just offended at this point. Like, we're for 3.5 years we caught them all. Now watch and see what happens.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You what? You actually allowed somebody to convince you that you could wait until your second term, thinking that all you needed to do to win your second term is campaign really hard?
Yeah. That's a discussion we need to have. Not today, even though I could add so much to what you're saying, because there were so many mistakes made in that regard. Not today. But we need to discuss how many opportunities President Trump had to save this thing and did not take.
That doesn't make sense at all for a guy who's so smart. Makes no sense. For a guy who understands his enemies as well as he does, how prepared he is before he goes into a fight, it makes no sense.
I think there was also a lot of people that gave this sort of air of the impossible to him when sometimes it's just really black and white. Like, they assigned this superhuman quality when sometimes it's just black and white. Like, trying to have conversations with some of the people that were more closed-minded to anything that he could make a mistake ever about anything. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That was the worst part, because sometimes you got to say, look, this was a mistake. It wasn't a 3 or 4 or 5D chess move. This was an error in judgment. This was a mistake. He trusted the wrong person. He was loyal to this person. And he should have been.
Yeah.
You know,
like the Kabuki theater theories about Jeff Sessions. No, there's real bad blood there.
There is. And I kept on trying to say that. Now, I still won't stop standing by my opinion that Jeff Sessions had to recuse himself from the Russia investigation. Mm-hmm. I still maintain that to this day. He wasn't a good pick for AG, even though he did do a lot of good things with human trafficking and, you know, all kinds of other stuff. But he wasn't a good pick for AG. And President Trump absolutely dislikes Sessions, even up until the day that Sessions is running for Senate in Alabama. And President Trump is like on Twitter telling people, do not vote for this man. He's horrible. And people are like, oh, that's just to make us hate him. So that when this comes out, I'm like, oh, my gosh, maybe there just is not a good relationship anymore because he feels like Jeff Sessions harmed him. Maybe. Could it be possible? And the problem with this is when you say those things, you get like attacked violently by people. That's what I mean about discernment. Like, when somebody advances the common denominator and says, you know, Occam's razor, this and this, don't yell at them for it and hate them and say they're anti. And that sort of sycophantish behavior is what got us to the point where we couldn't logically analyze things to a certain point. Like, there were so many times where I was looking at scenarios and reading documents that I was afraid to say things.
Oh yeah, same here. I don't do nearly the deep dives into things that you do. But there's been quite a few times that I've looked at something and I went, well, that doesn't look good. But you know what? I'm just going to take the sit back and wait
Yeah.
To see the sit back and wait, because I know exactly what's going on. Oh, well, Frank got blackpilled. But you know what? Realism is sometimes can sometimes resemble pessimism, but it's not.
Yeah, it's just realism.
If you believe in life, if you're committed to living a full life, and if you're committed to helping people, if you're committed to a free humanity, that's just who you are. You're not going to give that up. You don't give that up. But at the same time, you could be responsible enough to look around you and say, all right, things don't look good right now. And I think that what people are saying is good is a little bit too magical thinking.
Yeah.
There's a lot of magical thinking going on.
Yes. Yes. And it's a horrible place to be when you're trying to show people truth, to be afraid to show it because you're going to get attacked by a mob of people who think that because you're showing them this truth, you are against them. I did it anyway. There were a few things I didn't do just out of fear of preservation early on because I was terrified that I was going to be attacked. But now, you know, I come to the realization over the past year, maybe two, that we need to know these things, even though they are painful. Like our interview with Patrick Byrne, Frank.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how they're thinking, because you and I don't look. That's another thing. Oh, I guess you'll see a lot of that, too. And this is where people start losing that discernment as well. In other places. I guess Patrick Byrne was full of shit. I guess this one is full of shit. It's like, no, do you understand that sometimes, like, what have we been doing for the last 5 years? We've been right all along. We just lost. We've been right. Being right and doing all the good work, once again, does not, as we can see, does not guarantee the outcome we know should happen.
Yeah.
You know, if we take something serious, it doesn't mean that the Supreme Court will, and they should.
Yep. Yep. They should have. They sat.
They didn't take anything seriously we did.
They sat and let the country be stolen. They sat in their robes and let the country be stolen. That's what they did. And
now there's three shiny new Supreme Court justices that President Trump put on in there. That the best part about all this is that what are they going to do now? Now they're going to start doing their job. If they start doing their job right now and really start shitting all over the Democrats' plans, they'll just pass a Judiciary Act and put five more liberal judges in there.
Yep.
They can do that right now.
Yep.
So you want to talk about the insanity that Justice Alito and Justice Thomas were sitting by and saying, what are we doing? And why the hell are these three other new guys over here not joining us to at least hear cases that are within our domain of hearing? Now they know that their jobs are really just ceremonial, because if they start doing their jobs, they're going to be expanded and completely outnumbered. So they have a nice little salary. They have a resume booster. They're all Supreme Court justices, and they've sold their country out. They stood aside while their country was stolen.
Yeah. And, you know, I said from the beginning, until there is literally no avenue left for us to fight, we fight in the election war. And we did. We exhausted every possible angle, and we did not succeed. And a lot of that was because people in positions to do so decided not to do the right thing. That doesn't mean that any of the facts uncovered along the way were false. You know, some people went to the proper authorities with things because that's how things need to be done. And the proper authorities said, oh, yeah, we'll take care of it. And then just threw it under their desk in the waste paper basket. That doesn't mean they were full of shit. Now, there are some people out there right now that are full of shit. That's for sure. I just want people to be realistic. If we're going to continue to take back culture, to take back media, to do our part to form our own little houses where we live and we disseminate information and we become educated. Because the last thing we can do, Frank, is go back to the way we were before just because we throw our hands up in the air and say, ah, nothing we're going to do about it. Because that's very attractive, Frank. It's very attractive.
I know it's not attractive at all, but
no, it is.
I will. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, it is attractive.
It is attractive to people. Who wants to deal with this bullshit?
Well, here's the thing. People have said, Frank, I think we're in much worse shape than we were in 2015. I say, Well, that's just a matter of perspective. My perspective is, in 2015, before Donald Trump was the presumptive nominee, or we can go to 2014, before we're even talking about this stuff, we were on a trajectory for just total tyranny, economic collapse. Hillary Clinton was obviously predestined to come on in and do work for 4 to 8 years and slowly merge us into this UN vision for the world. And where were we? I said, if you take Donald Trump, it was like a 4-year pause with Donald Trump and some good things that were done. We were kept afloat. We had a little bit of a satiating breath. We thought that there was a chance at something. You take him away, we're we may be right back to where we started on the same collision course with catastrophe. But all we have now is we have a little bit more of an understanding of who we are and how many tens of millions more are with us.
Yeah.
And not only that, but
we are the majority.
We're the clear majority. And it's global now. I mean, there are lockdown revolts all over the world right now.
Yep.
So, are things bad? Well, I mean, they would be only as bad as they were going to be if we had gone from 2014 to now uninterrupted by a Donald Trump presidency. But what we can say is that we can count among us far more people who are awake. And let me tell you something else, that sometimes seeing little glimpses behind the curtain and seeing a world that you never saw before, and then getting that crushing defeat, feeling that crushing defeat for the first time, that really does hollow you out and blackpill you, that is usually the start of a longer journey down the rabbit hole.
I will agree with you.
It really is. I mean, you may feel a little bit hopeless right now, but I mean, you're never going to go back to the...
You can't.
You can't go back to the Matrix. You've seen too much.
Yep, you can't. None of you can, and you know it. So while you may be frustrated and think, oh, well, let's be apathetic, you know, I'm not dealing with this politics thing anymore. I went through this already once, by the way, when Ron Paul was running. Yeah. I got apathetic and I kind of stepped away from my major work that I was doing for about a year and just kind of like pondered life and spirituality and all kinds of stuff like that. But you might do that, but I don't think so. It's much different this time. Much different. And there are too many of us. So we need to stay focused. There's a lot of work to still do. A lot.
Yep.
That's a good place to end the show today.
I believe so.
You've been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Hump Day Pal and...
Beans! There's still 1 hour and 1 minute, Frank.
Yeah, I heard that Hillary's wearing purple today.
You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you back here on Friday.
See you later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.